This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Okay, let's open our Bibles, James 3, verse 13 to 18. We've been busy with this season, and with this series. We say this sermon series is about faith that works. Okay, now faith that works can be like literally, like you're doing works, or it can be like my faith is working. It's not just faith, it works. There's results in my faith. You know, and for all of us sitting here, I'm sure that there is results in your faith. When you became a Christian, you can say like, I believe God and that happened and that happened and I saw that. But not only that, that the last few weeks that we've been speaking about this, faith that works is also that makes us rejoice in trials, isn't it? Because if I don't have faith, it's very difficult to rejoice in anything. What to say, trials. Okay, if my faith works, it also makes me a doer of the word and not just a listener. Okay? If my faith works, as Albert shared last week, it helps me to tame my tongue. I don't know how many of you did the homework from last week. Albert said we must, I think, encourage someone or realize how someone has been encouraging us and say thank you to them. Did someone do that homework? Okay, this week, guys, come on. I'm joking. Okay? But just to remind you, let's try that this week. Okay, good. So now we're going to focus on a different part of James, which also got to do with works, but a bit different. Okay, James 3:13, let's read. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual and demonic. Quite a strong word there. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Amen. Okay, so there's so much in this little, how many verses is it? Five? And it might seem that we can just be busy for a little while, but it can keep us busy for quite a while if we really get to go in that scripture. But at the same time, it's a scripture that we can just read over quickly. Oh, wisdom, you know, and we don't really ever get to that place like, what wisdom is going on here? You know, I named the sermon like, do you want true wisdom? Do you want true wisdom? So if I'm speaking about true wisdom, if the Bible is speaking about true wisdom, then surely there must be a false wisdom as well. Okay, and I think that is what James is pointing out to us so clearly. In the book of James, he's saying, like, guys, you can have real faith or you can have dead faith. You remember that we spoke about? You can have true wisdom or you can have false wisdom. There's two different wisdoms. I mean, I've many times said, oh, that's such a wise man. But was he really wise? According to the word. Or is it just something that I like saying because he once said something that sounded wise? Let's see what is true wisdom. But for us to know what true wisdom is, we're first going to start with what is false wisdom, because that's how they start. So basically what James is saying is, if we have wisdom, it will show itself by the way that we live. Okay? So it's not even difficult to see if someone really is wise or if it's a false kind of wise, if we know what to look for. Because he says in the first, Who is wise and understanding amongst you? You know, that was the first word. He's asking. Because remember, in the previous part of the scripture, as we heard last week, he was speaking to the teachers and about taming the tongue. We speak so quickly. We quickly know, we think we know what we must say, you know, and especially if we're in a position of authority or leadership or whatever, it's very quick to be like, oh, I'm going to say that. But he's saying, who is wise and understanding among you? If you say that you are wise, then show it by your good life. In other words, don't just speak this. Don't just speak these things. Show it by your good life, but not just the good life. What it says? By deeds done in humility. Wow. Okay, are you ready to explore what is false wisdom and what is true wisdom? Are you ready for it? Let me just first ask, do you want true wisdom? Yeah, me too. I really want true wisdom. I need it. I need it in so many aspects of my life. Okay, so let's see, what is it? Okay, so we're going to first look at false wisdom, and we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at where does it come from, we're going to look at how does it operate, and then we're going to look at what is the results. Okay, so if I have false wisdom, where does it come from, how does it operate, and what is the results? Okay, firstly, where does it come from? It's very clear here. It says in verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So if we look at where it comes from, it's clear. It's not coming from above. So if they talk, it's not coming from above, it's not coming from God. Okay, so if you have false wisdom, it's not coming from God. That's a good thing. Okay, now it's easy to say, okay, it's not coming from God. How must I know what's coming from God? But he goes on and he says, the sources is earthly. What is earthly, guys? It means worldly. It's from this world. It's all the wisdom from this world. The second point that he uses, he says unspiritual. Do you know what's unspiritual? Fleshly. Pilani so nicely preached about that. In the spirit and in the flesh, okay? It's fleshly. We depend on our own stuff, on what we want. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. In other words, we don't have the spirit of this world, but if we have false wisdom, we rely on the flesh and not on the spirit, okay? It's unspiritual. The last one, it's demonic. That's crazy. In other words, we don't get our wisdom from the Lord and his word and his truth. We get it from other sources, which is influenced by the enemy himself. Okay, so how can we describe this? It's worldly. Why is it worldly? Because we want the approval of the world. If we're in false wisdom, it's because we want the approval of the world. Okay, I can have nice wisdom that will impress so many people. It's not necessarily going to be biblical. It's worldly because I want to have the approval from people and not necessarily God. Okay? And then the fleshly one is to satisfy myself. Okay? Wisdom, in the end, where it comes from, I want to satisfy myself. And the last one, it's the devil. We're totally just running under his control. Crazy, isn't it? What James is telling us here. Okay, how does it operate? Okay, it says in verse 14, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. So how does it operate? It operates in envy. Okay, guys, do you know what envy is? I once did a sermon on envy, and I got the fright of my life. Okay, the Lord said, okay, speak about envy. Envy is, you know what jealousy, you know, if your tongue doesn't want to work with you, or be as quick as you want it to go, just, okay? So jealousy is that I like this dress of Cindy, I really want it. Okay, that's like jealous, oh, I want that dress, you know, type of thing. But envy is, I really want that dress, but I don't want her to have it either. Does it make sense? So I want it, but I don't want her to have it. So I'm so envious of that I'm like, I'll do anything for her not to have that. I want it. Okay? That's envy. And it might happen in something like a dress, but it can also happen in something like a gifting. You know, in church, you see someone with a great gift and you're like so jealous and you so want it, but then you become really bad because then you're like, you don't want them to have it. So you just start pushing them and deep speaking lelike stuff over them because you want it, but you also don't want them to have it. I've experienced envy in my life in so many different types, so many different seasons in my life where I had to really fight against being envious over someone else, but also where someone would come and they're like, want something that I have, but they also push me down because they don't want me to have it either. And I can tell you something, if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, does it do anything to this person that we are not forgiving? Nah, they don't care. It doesn't make a difference. But guys, let me tell you the truth, that if you have envy in your heart, it does affect the other person. What the Lord showed me that time when I preached about it, he said, envy is like this. It comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It can really bring someone down. It can really. And I was like, wow, Lord, then what do I do if someone is envious about, like, with me? He says, don't fight it. Don't be intimidated by it. Keep your eyes on me. Okay. Because many times, if we feel like someone is envious about us or want to push us down, you must see these nails come out. Huh? Or now I'm going to show you. You know? But God says, no, no, no. Don't fight back. Don't be intimidated. Just you keep your eyes on Jesus. Sometimes not that easy. But trust God in it. Don't also turn to that place. Okay, so how does worldly wisdom operate? False wisdom operate? In envy. And we see it in the world, isn't it? I don't know. I just looked at you, so I thought of Hollywood. And I'm like, especially in Hollywood. Have you seen Hollywood? They cannot say one good thing about, it's like just pushing each other down because they want that position and this one. And sadly enough, it happens in the church as well. Okay. The second one that he says selfish ambition. That's another way that it operates. False wisdom. It's about me and what I want. Okay? So the wisdom I get from the world. And just think about it. What do we read? How to be the best you. How to improve your self-esteem. How to you. Isn't it? And it's so captivating because we're all like that. Yes. I need this, I need to get, and we fill ourselves with all those things. But what we don't realize, there might be truth in it. But there's always some wrong stuff in it as well. So now I'm filling myself with this. What comes out? The world. Because I filled myself with the world. Okay? And then all of a sudden, I need to make a big decision in my life. What am I going to depend on? The worldly wisdom, not the biblical wisdom, not the godly wisdom, because I hardly ever get any Bible wisdom or godly wisdom. I'm just filled with all these articles I read online and this new book by that person or whatever. So I'm filled with all the worldly stuff and I get a lot of wisdom, I think. But it's earthly, it's fleshly, and it's demonic. So when it comes to me to have to operate in wisdom, what comes out? I operate like the world. Isn't it? Okay, so the outcome, how does it look like? If we start to operate in false wisdom, the worldly wisdom, the fleshly wisdom, it says here, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, it's in verse 16, there you find disorder and every evil practice. It just makes perfect sense, isn't it? If there's envy, and selfish ambition, so I'm pushing the other down to get what I want, even if it's in a subtle way, there will be disorder, and there will be every evil practice. Just think about a marriage, okay? Not a lot of us are married here, but just think about a marriage. Say, Derek and I'm like, I want to be the best in this marriage, and he must not just serve me, and how is he not doing that? And if he gets something, I'm jealous of him and envious, and I'm like, I wanted that new car, you know, or whatever. Do you think... Do you think that that's going to be a good marriage? Do you think that it will be known by disorder and evil practices? Definitely, because I will fight with him all the time. I will always want what I want. I will always want the better things. And so that worldly wisdom, you know, that we maybe read like, oh, your husband must spoil you at least once a week, you know, that we read in articles. Now I get home and like, listen, my love, this article said you must spoil me once a week. You know, because you see, again, it's about me. Go read articles of the world where it says serve your husband, you know, honor him, build him up, you know, be his biggest cheerleader, you know, love him. Where does it say that in the worldly things? Make sure he wears the right clothes so that people can see you. And this is how you fix him. And this will really help you so that when you help him, he will actually look better after you. That kind of thing. So in the end of the day, it all comes back to you and how it will be better for you. Okay? And it leads to disorder and evil practices. Does it make sense? I don't need to give another example now because I can't think of one now. Okay. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, great. So what it says is now, the world and the worldly wisdom and the false wisdom is the world, right? Okay, I've said that too many times. But we don't want to be pressed into the mold of this world. If we are filled with all this false wisdom that we hear, that we get from the world, then we are pressed into the mold of the world. The Lord said, yeah, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. I talked to a guy last night and he said, yeah, he's just so convicted that God said, you know, you're in the world, but you're not of this world. And how many times we want to look like the world looks. And he said, how's the world supposed to see Jesus if we look exactly the same as the world? Isn't it? Okay, good. So did you get that? False wisdom is not from God. Okay? It's earthly, it's fleshly, and it's demonic. Thanks, Gabriele. Okay? It operates in envy and selfish ambition, and the outcome is disorder and every evil practice. Now, if I ask you now, do you want worldly wisdom, false wisdom? No. No one would want it, right? Let's just be practical, like I've been speaking. But where do we get this wisdom from? Maybe our lecturers who are speaking stuff over us. Now, just listen, there is stuff that's really amazing, and we can learn from it always. Okay, good research, all of that. But if that is the thing that we fill ourselves the whole time, if that is the thing that we get advice from or things from, then that is what we're going to be filled with. And in the end, that is what's going to come out. Okay, I remember my sister and I was really small. And that time, I love playing outside. Like, I'm like outside. Cricket, whatever it is, I'm playing, you know, with the rest of the kids in the street. My sister was the one who was in front of the TV, you know. I had to beg her to come and play with me, but she would sit in front of the TV. And we're really small, and I don't know how we got to this topic, but we came to marriage and, you know, all of that. And I said, no, you can't move in with your boyfriend or whatever before you get married. And she was like, whatever, of course you can. I mean, we were primary school, and she already understood it, that yes, it's okay. Because why? Because in every TV program, it says it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay, so if I get filled with all the series and movies and stuff, and it all the time tells me it's okay, there's nothing wrong with it, you know, then like the rest of So many people, you know, it's the odd thing if you don't move in these days. It's really the odd thing. Okay? Now, it was just so interesting for me that my little sister, who grew up in a Christian home, you know, we went to church every Sunday, at a very little age already thought that it was okay. I got so angry with her. That time, I didn't have a clue what was Christian and what was love and, you know, all that kind of things. I just knew that that is not right, and I cannot believe that you think it's right, you know, and I think she got a bit offended with me already, that little age, when I said to her, But I couldn't prove it because I don't know where it came from. I just got this wisdom somewhere. Okay? But that's just a simple example of, if you look at the world, and I mean, it's many believers these days that say, do something like that, and see nothing wrong with it. Okay? And that is just because it's so part of the world. You know, it's so right. And if you speak to someone, they really get offended with you if you want to speak about that. Okay? And it's not like you don't want them to be happy or anything. It's just like, you know, this is what the word says. Let's just skip with that or whatever. Okay, so you get what I'm trying to say, okay? Now let's look at true wisdom. Okay, where do we get true wisdom? Okay, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven. Wow, okay? The wisdom that comes from heaven. I love that he didn't use the word God or Jesus or anything like that. He made it more striking when he said from heaven. It's coming straight from above. Where do we get that wisdom? We get it in the word. Okay? We get it in this word, and I cannot explain or just say it enough that how God wants us to live according to this word. He really wants us to get it and live according to it. Why? Wow, because there's blessing, there's things that is going to work out for us, because it has the perfect answers for all the things that we need, even if we don't think so. And when we get to a road and we need wisdom, it's interesting how many times we run to some other article or some other speaker or maybe a wise friend or whatever before we even consider reading the word of the Lord. Isn't it? I was thinking now, yesterday, as I was preparing, I was thinking that many times it's okay for us to get wisdom, you know, from the word when it's, say, to do with our work. Like, I need a new work. Lord, help me. Which path should I take? You know, but it's to do with my friends that I choose, for instance. No, I can do that myself. I'm wise enough to make the right decisions there. Or if it comes to, which political party I must support, which is maybe not something that we speak about in church. But then it's also like, oh no, I can make my own decision. I can see what I want and who I must vote for. But if I want godly wisdom, then I should ask God. And where would I get that? In His Word. What does God say about leadership and things like that? Okay, does it make sense? If it's getting too deep, just shake your neighbor and say, we're almost finished. Okay, no one did that. Praise God. Okay, Psalm 19 verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. Okay, it's talking about the word. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. So if you thought I was maybe making it up here, the Lord's word, the law, is making wise the simple. Just go read Proverbs. How many good advice does Proverbs give you? Just go check it out. You would be like, what? One of the good things that I am learning at the moment, it says that a husband, you know, if they have a moaning wife, it's like a leak, like dripping. Then, do you know I hate that sound? If there's someone somewhere in the house, there's a tip, 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 tip. Oh, it irritates me so much, you know. So I must think when I start to moan, you know, at my house, oh, you're sounding like that now. The Bible says it, you know. So they're giving us good wisdom, good advice. And that's something very simple, but it makes a big difference. So does everything in this word. When we start to apply it, it changes our situations. It changes our friendships. It changes, you know, how we think, see things in our work, and it changes us for sure. Okay, so how does wisely wisdom operate? Yo, they give 7 things here. Huh? So if you want to test yourself today, am I operating in wise and true wisdom? Then see if these things are true of you. Okay, the first one, it's pure. It's pure. And it's interesting, they put pure first because you have to be pure to do all the rest of the things that's coming. Okay? It's pure. And you will understand what this purity means when we go on. Okay? It keeps oneself pure from the world. It's like, I'm not going to be intimidated if the world, you know, these days, people wear very low stuff. You know? Again, we often don't speak about this in church. But we should actually speak about it because people wear like such low stuff, you know? And it's, I mean, I can just look at the guys. They're like, please, ladies, don't wear that. Please don't wear that. I know it looks cool. I know it's beautiful. I know God made you that way. But I also want to say to you, there's guys that really struggle with lust and things like that. And if you like that, you're actually tempting them and you're helping them not get better, if I can say it like that. Really? Okay? So oftentimes, just, you know, I can see I'm quite covered. Okay? But just cover yourself nicely. You know, we don't have to look like the world to be pretty. You know? We don't have to look like the world. You know? And I always say, for one man only. Not everyone has to see that. Okay? I have a precious, amazing husband, and that's for him. Okay? And you are precious for that one man that's coming to you, okay? So don't show it to everyone. Okay, cool. Purity. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I want to be pure in heart, right? Because I want to see God. I've got a desire to see God. I'll probably die on the spot. You know, but I have a desire to see God and to meet with Him. Okay, the second one is peace-loving. You can see it's the contrast of the false wisdom. It's the contrast because there was disorder and evil practice and envy and I'm going to get you down. But this true wisdom is like peace. Love peace. I love when I can help and see peace in situations. And bring peace and make peace. Okay? I don't know if you know someone that always when they walk into the door, it's like, oh, it's just like peace. Huh? I would love to be like that. You know, there's like stuff is going on and then this person walks in and it's like, okay, everything's going to be okay. You know, there's peace. God says if we have true wisdom, we're peace-loving and we carry that peace with us. We read that in Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Imagine you walk into your work situation where it's chaos, and you walk in there, and all of a sudden, all these people are like, what just happened? The atmosphere changed. Like, no man, what just happened here? Oh, this guy's a child of God. Huh? God is giving that to us. This morning at intercession, you know, I saw a picture of the grave being empty and God reminded me that the same power that rose Christ from the dead is living in us. In other words, I want to expect these things to happen because Jesus is living in me. And if Jesus walks into this door now, I'm sure that great peace will fill this house. So I know if I walk into a situation because Christ is in me, peace can fill that house. Isn't it? Amazing. Okay, the third one, considerate. What does that mean? Making allowance for others' feelings, not you always wanting to be right. I have to work hard at this one, guys. It's so good to always be right, isn't it? I'll tell Derek, ek het gewen, you know, even if I didn't, because I just want to say it, you know, I just want it to be right there. Okay? But consider other people. Sometimes you even have to be right, but don't say it. Just to consider someone. Okay? And especially, you know, when we're believers, the first thing we want to do sometimes is tell people what they're doing wrong. Remember, with us being in the church, we can speak about that because we're carrying God's light, right? We can, like, challenge each other and we can be accountable to each other because we want to walk the right way. But if an unbeliever comes in here, the first thing, if I see they're wearing a low top, for instance, I'm not going to run to them and say, hey, we don't wear that in church. How could you come in like that? No, we consider it, even if we're right. You know, that person first needs to experience the love of Christ to even understand what it means. Does it make sense? Okay, great. Then the fourth one, submissive. Easy to live with. Are we easy to live with, people? I'm not going to ask my husband that question now. Okay? And it's the opposite than stubborn. Okay? Submissive, easy to live with, and it's the opposite than stubborn. You know, sometimes we have that people, they're always the one that's stubborn, that don't want to do it or want to go the other direction. Huh? Even sometimes we are like that, like, no, I'm just not going to do it. Like, it's like good for everyone, but I'm not going to go the other way. Maybe I should tell you the story just to break the tension a bit. I was in the military and we were in the bush and we're in groups and they gave us a certain coordinates or I don't know, I can't remember what, where we need to end off. So we need to walk there, okay? So we have our compass and whatever and we have the map and now you have to work it out. And that's where I realized the day that I know nothing about direction, okay? Like, I really thought I knew something about direction, but that day I realized, my one friend, Esther, always says to me that when you want to show where you're going or where that place is, don't show, you know? So if you talk about a place, don't show where it is. You know, while you talk, I'm going to Checkers, and then and she's like, Checkers is there, you know? Like, don't show, okay? And sometimes I still catch myself... But that day we're walking and the whole group, I think we were about 20 in our platoon or whatever it was, and the whole group was saying we must go this way. And I was like, guys, you are so wrong. We must go that way. You know? I was so stubborn with the whole group. I was like, I was so certain I'm right. You know? And I was like, luckily, you know, there was very strong personalities in that group. And eventually I was like, well, I can't go on my own. So I'm like, whatever, we're going the wrong way. And I'm moaning all the way, and we get to the place, and it's the right place. And I'm like, no, this doesn't make sense in my head. You know, we really were supposed. Anyways, so that's stubborn, you know. That's like, just, I think I'm right, so we're all not going to go that way. And then, praise God, I learned a very good lesson that day. Trust others' directions, or GP, or GPS or Google Maps, but not your own. Okay, good. The fifth one, full of mercy and good fruit. Full of mercy, full of mercy. Oh, I love merciful people. Huh? They're just always like, wow, no, it's okay. You know, and God says his mercies are new every morning. So that means if someone really messed up yesterday and you're so angry with them, you know, you're just like, tomorrow, God's mercies are new every morning, so my mercies are going to be new every morning for that person. You know, even if I was so badly hurt, I can give this person a chance again. I can, you know, that type of thing. Okay, and we also read in Matthew 5:7 about the mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I love that. Because God says, if you're merciful, you will receive mercy. I don't think we grasp grace and mercy. It's something that is too big for our minds, but it's something incredible. Huh? It just like flows. It just like comes for us all the time. Okay, and then the last one, sincere. Sincere. True wisdom is sincere. Yo, in this world, it's not something we see so often anymore. Someone that's sincere when they tell you, I care for you. You know, someone that's sincere when they say, no, I'll be there. Or sincere when they say, wow, you have a beautiful dress. Sincere because they actually want to give something and not just because they want something. Or just because they know it's the right thing to do. Because we as believers, sometimes we know what's right to do. So we just do it, but it's never sincere or, you know, there's meaning behind it. It's just something we do because we got taught to do it from an early age. But true wisdom, it's sincere. You know, sincere, like I will say, Thomas, I really missed you. That's sincere, you know. I hope that came across sincere, did it? Okay. Thanks, my brother. Oh, funny. Okay, what's the outcome? What's the outcome of true wisdom? Okay, the outcome of true wisdom is sowing peace. Okay, like we said, the outcome of false wisdom was disorder and every kind of evil. Evil practice, yeah. So when it comes to true wisdom, it's sowing peace. You sow peace wherever you go. Why? Because you have wise, I keep on saying wise wisdom, okay? You have wise, true wisdom, okay? Because you have true wisdom, because it's biblical. And you have this true, wise, biblical wisdom, then, of course, you're going to sow peace. You're going to sow peace. And what's going to come up? Righteousness. Righteousness and peace. Because the word says, what you sow, you will reap. So if you sow those envy and the selfish ambitions, then what are you going to reap? That disorder and every kind of evil practice, wherever you go, it's just always going to be disorder. It just doesn't work out. And why? Because my heart is filled with false wisdom. I'm sowing envy and selfish ambitions. Okay, to end off, make it practically a bit more understandable or whatever, 4 simple steps to living wisely. Okay? 4 simple steps to living wisely, which we read about now and talked about. Firstly, you need to know Christ personally. You need to know Christ personally. You cannot be considered wise if you reject Christ. Isn't it? Now remember this, guys. If we want true wisdom, we cannot seek it from people that doesn't know Jesus. We can listen to it, definitely, but we cannot make our lives according to it, to what they say. Our lives primarily has to be according to the Word. You can have a wise grandma, you know, and it's always got you on the right path. We can tell you, no, my child, it's okay. If you take that bread and it doesn't belong to you. Really? Because you see your grandma's wise, now you follow that. But if she's not a believer, then you cannot follow everything she says. Then you have to be at that place and say, hey, grandma, I love you, but you know, I live according to the Word, and it says I shouldn't do that. You know? Or ask God for wisdom in that situation. Not that I think that our grandmas will tell anything like that, but just to use an example. Maybe a wise boss that tells you, you know what, we're just going to cheat a bit with the tax. We're just going to cheat a bit with this. You know, it's a wise guy. He has a big company, you know, so now I have to follow. He's wise. No, you know. What do we follow first? No, we don't cheat. Does it make sense? Our true wisdom comes from here, not from the things of the world, not from Hollywood. Okay. I've heard people quote Hollywood, and then they live by it. Hakuna Matata. How many people have said that to me? Don't worry, be happy, you know? That's like a scripture. That's like the thing for life. Don't worry, be happy. Great, until something hits you, and then, you know, anyways, let's go on. Number two, you need to read the Bible obediently. Okay? I know it sounds like things that you have to do, but great is the reward. Great is the reward. If I read the Word, and I just read this wisdom part, and I was like, wow, that is so cool. You know, that's a cool scripture, and I go on, and I don't apply it in my life, it doesn't help anything. So I read the Bible obediently. That's where I get the wisdom from. That's how I know how to live. Right? That's where I know how to follow. And what decisions, what must I do? Okay? Yeah. Number three, pray to God humbly. Pray to God humbly. Why do I say that? It's not just sounds like a good number three step to do. No, it says in James 1 verse 5, you do not know what to do. No, sorry. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. It says this in James 1 verse 5. It says pray. If you do not know what to do, if you do not have wisdom, pray. Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. We get in many situations where really, we can't find a scripture. No leader in church or friend or parent can tell us what to do. Pray. Pray. Ask God for wisdom. But don't be like me and keep it for the last possible option, okay? When you don't know what to do, pray about it. Be like Nokubonga. The first thing she does in a difficult situation, she prays. Her work situation was difficult when she got here. The next day she told me, God told me I must do this. Huh? In other words, she didn't listen to me. Anyways, didn't get good advice. You know, and she listened to God and she did what He wants her to do. She didn't get wisdom from the things or the world. Or she's got a wise mom or even her wise mom. Okay, then number four, fear the Lord reverently. Fear the Lord reverently. Why? Because scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Does that verse make better sense now? Because we quote it oftentimes, but do we apply it? The fear of the Lord, in other words, I'm in humble fear of the great I am. That gives me wisdom. Why? Because then I read the Word in such a way that I want to do it. Then I come to God knowing that He's the one who knows everything. And I live according to that. The fear of the Lord. If I have the fear of the Lord in my heart, I would want to have true wisdom and be filled with the Word. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.